What's up, everyone, and welcome down to another episode of Zetro's Toxic Vault. And finally, he is here. You guys have been asking for him forever, and I finally produced it. He finally agreed to come in. He is a Bay Area legendary guitar player, one of the best riff writers I have ever worked with and I have ever seen. I am talking about from Testament, Mr. Eric Peterson.
What's up?
Good to see you.
How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We've talked sparingly since the we came back from tour. Everybody healthy in your family and all good?
Yeah, doing good.
And the band's, everybody's back to being healthy again. So I've talked to Chuck and
Kyle. Yeah, everybody's back. And I mean, Chuck, his wife Tiffany, Steve DiGiorgio, and both guitar techs got sick. Anybody in your camp get sick?
Just Gary.
Gary got it.
But I think he got it like everyone else did, not as severe as like Will Carroll got it. Yeah. So
everybody was a little bit different, but
yeah,
I was surprised. I mean,
I was surprised
too. We were all on a bus and being around catering together.
I know. I mean, I was with you guys. We were like in a close proximity with, and the fans as well. I mean, our shows were sold out and there's
all that breathing
in the air. So I mean, and so many people, I mean, remember Death Angel's manager Aaron was complaining about being sent KY2 for like weeks, and we're like, what the fuck's wrong with these guys? You know what I mean? So
it's weird. I mean, my guitar tech, you know, holding my guitars every day, handing them to me.
Right.
Who knows, sneezing maybe.
Right.
You know. Sure. A lot of time I'd get my guitar, it's all, you know, kind of, hey, you want to come rub this down?
You know, so, he felt bad. He was in a bad way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was in a bad way.
We got lucky.
We're talking about KY, Kevin Young. And Kevin was not feeling good that whole, I'd say the second half, kind of, really. You know?
He seemed like he got better, but I think it really hit him when he got home.
You know, yeah, right. He kind of went like that. And then I think, and then his girl got sick too, right, when he brought it home. It was like one thing after another. So I guess this is life in the age of the pandemic right now. There's no live shows. None of us, I mean, you know, and a lot of people were asking if we were going to take the Bass Strikes Back tour everywhere else. And
we did.
You know, we actually all had it out and all rooted and booked already.
You know, it was Europe and then America, and then it was Europe again, and it was Europe again.
Right, and so there was a lot going on.
And then we were going to even do, you know, the Eastern Bloc, Russia.
Yeah.
And
Istanbul, I saw that was on there. That was on there. Greece, that was on there. So there was a lot of dates of guys that we, you know, fans, of course, we wanted to play this thing. And again, we're not over with this thing, you know. This just kind of stopped it. I mean, Testament has a brand new record out, as far as I'm concerned. It's not even, you barely got to,
oh my god,
barely got
it
to
comes
spin
out
anything.
It's like, go home.
So well, and now we're going in here in a couple of weeks to record, so maybe it'll be good timing next year when they allow us all to finally go and do this. But
awesome.
I dragged Eric in here because we have so much history together, and you guys have always wondered, I mean, you know what Testament does and you know what Exodus does, but we never really got to talk legacy all the time. So basically, I got Eric in here
legacy.
Today, and we're going to talk to Eric, and we're going to do what we do with Eric, with everybody. Basically, we're going to find out the genesis of how it started. I pretty much know how it kind of started, but I want him to tell all of you guys from the horse's mouth how, you know, obviously it was you and Derek as cousins, but when did you start playing guitar, Eric? And you grew up in Alameda, right?
I grew up in, well, Lafayette, and then I moved to Alameda, and that's where a legacy started. Louis had just moved from L.A. Up to Alameda for some
Louis Clemente.
Reason. Louis Clemente. And Derek and I were just more like jamming in his garage, drinking import beers, like,
But talk about growing up as cousins, because again,
well, I am. I'm trying to tell you that we would sit there and drink import beers, and
at 5 years old.
At 5 years
old.
No,
I'd be okay at 5 years old.
You want to go back to 5 years old?
Yes, I do. I want to go back to where, I want to know how, was Marsha listening to hard rock music at that? Marsha's Derek's mother.
Yeah.
And I was wondering.
So Marsha and Stan, my parents, were young when they had me.
Right.
And the record collection they had was, you know, Led Zeppelin was in there, Black Sabbath was in there, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. So stuff like that. I listened to a lot of stuff like that in the background. And Black Sabbath kind of stood out to me because it used to scare the shit out of me. Especially my mom had this painting of this, I don't know if it was a nun or something, but it just stared at you. You'd walk in the living room and I'd look up and I'd be like, oh my God. That thing scared the shit out of me.
Was it a creepy nun? Or
it was just creepy.
Was it meant to be religious by any means?
It was a very Renaissance looking. And she still got it. When I seen it, it made my heart like go ba 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 ba. It was just one of those paintings where it just looked at you all the time. And it was one of those, you know, faces.
She has a stoic look on her face. And it's,
and it was right around the wall. So the stereo system was right there. And then when you'd walk, you just kind of would have to go, oh, man. You know, like The Nun, you know, the movie The Nun.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, wasn't that
look like it a little bit? Or?
I mean, it wasn't horror like that, but it was one of those menacing kind of faces. And I never understood why. And I used to tell her when I was a kid, like, I'm not going, you know, go in my room and get this. No, I'm not going in the living room. No way.
Wow.
That kind of freaked me out. So, you know, going on, I guess, you know, eighth grade.
So it was eighth grade when you started playing guitar.
Seventh, eighth grade. I mean, before that, fifth, sixth grade. I mean, I listened like the Commodores. I was more like into soul music.
Right. We all dance in disco. And
yeah,
then,
yeah. Well, yeah, disco, I don't know if disco
there's
was
a little part yet, in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Bee Gees, but, Saturday Night Fever, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I listened to, you know, Kiss is what did it for me.
Sure.
So sixth, seventh grade.
Were you playing guitar yet?
No. I bought a distortion box and I had it for 2 years.
You had the distortion box first?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
For Christmas. And I was like, one day I'm going to get a guitar.
One day I'm going to, this thing's going to be the heaviest thing ever. Wow.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so I finally got my first guitar, I think like in eighth grade maybe.
Really?
In a Memphis Les Paul.
A Memphis Les Paul.
Yeah, and lived in Lafayette, and I took guitar lessons from an old guy named William Tapia. He was the guitar player on the I Love Lucy show.
Like, da-na-na-na, that, really?
Yeah, yeah, well, he was in the orchestra. He was one of the guitar players for, what was Lucy's husband's name?
Ricky
yeah.
Ricardo.
Ricky, yeah.
Yeah, he was in Ricky's band.
Yeah, Ricky's band. So I remember bringing the Draw the Line music book and wanted to learn Draw the Line. So he's looking at it, and he showed me the notes, and I'm playing it, and I'm all da-na-na-na-na-na. And he would hit my hand. He's all, no. And he's all da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He's, you know. He's,
really? But you knew how the song
and
went,
I'm like,
right?
I go, no, it doesn't go. And I laughed after that. And when he hit my hand, I'm like, what the hell?
Really? We're going to start hitting hands now,
like,
huh?
No way.
How many lessons did you actually take from him, you think?
Well, I mean, you know, I learned what the strings were, and you know, I didn't really learn that much.
But you're basically self-taught, I would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I took one lesson from Joe Satriani when, this is later, when Alex was in the band. Like, who do you take lessons from? My first lesson was with him was, well, you know, we got good news and bad news. You know, the good news is I'm going to give you a lesson. The bad news is it's the only lesson I'm going to give you because I'm going to do a record called Surfing with Alien.
Right.
Or is that the name of the record?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just like,
so not of this earth had come out already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was already.
So I was just like, okay, cool. And he gave me like, you know, I still got the scales and the chords and whatnot, you know, what to work on. But yeah, I mean, I'm basically self-taught.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And, that,
and now you got YouTube. You can learn anything
yeah,
you want.
That's
so.
What's amazing.
I just learned Shock Me the other day. I was like.
By Kiss?
Yeah.
Like, was, shock me, yeah. Make me feel bad.
And it's by Ace. He's teaching it. And I'm just.
Really?
He's so funny.
Is he? I bet he is. That must be. I guess exactly. So now, huh?
Yeah.
They're going to go on and do stuff. So,
that's the only one he taught, though. I looked up some other ones.
Now, while you're learning the guitar, your cousins with Derek. What's Derek doing at this time? I mean, are you guys know that each other?
You would tell me. Doesn't he live in Dublin?
Yeah, what's that?
Doesn't he live out here?
Yeah, he does. He lives out here.
Okay.
I've had him on. I've had him on a couple of times. But during that period of time, were you aware of each other playing music? I mean, how did that
Oh yeah. I mean, well, of course we're cousins, so you know we kind of grew up together. He was first. He had a guitar a couple of years before me, and he would always kind of turn me on to, you know, I don't know. We were listening to like Foghat and Kiss, of course.
Now your mothers were sisters, right? That's how your connection.
No, my mom, his dad is my mom's brother.
Okay.
But so my mom, his mom was my mom's best friend.
Oh, okay.
You know, and maybe she'd bring her best friend around the house, and her brother's like, "Hey, what's going on? You know, it's your friend."
I see. Did you guys hang out as a young age? I mean,
we were inseparable at one point.
You were,
yeah, we were kids.
Well, I felt that way when I joined.
Yeah, it was like Eric and Derek.
It was Eric and Derek.
Eric and Derek.
That's why, honestly, yeah. when Derek, we'll talk about that
yeah.
when Derek
left. So, but, you know, we were totally into Judas Priest and, you know, and at that point, I think it was Unleashed in the East and Stained right. Class and Hellbent for Leather. Those records had came out.
So you're about 15, because that's about 79. We're talking yeah. about 79.
78, 79, right around there, you know.
Right.
Got into the Scorps, listening to Tokyo Tapes, and then Love Drive came out. And then that's when everything started getting, you know, the production and everything, especially for the Scorpions, started getting more modern. I remember getting the first Venom 45, listening to that.
Welcome to Hell.
And just, you know, the whole, first of all, we're in Lafayette and we're on this house on a hill with no lights and everything. And we put that on. I think we just got stoned. And he was laughing because I was just like, I'm not listening to this. This is like freaking me out. Well, especially after getting stoned too, you know. So I took the cover and I ripped it and I threw it outside. And he's just on the ground laughing, you know, like, oh my God.
So then I have to contribute the evil influence with Derek a little bit then.
Oh, yeah.
But he was always kind of, even when I met you guys, he was always seemed to be the instigator of the baddie stuff. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
From the priest collars with the upside down crosses. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God. I remember when we got those. I mean, that was for our first show.
Right.
We like, me and Derek were going to wear. Wait, did you wear them too?
No, I wore the white power Hitler shirt that was terrible with the swastika on it.
Oh my
the
God.
Heavy metal hat, the chaps, and the member, because anything was
so we went metal. I think we've seen a commercial, not a commercial, an ad for Judas Priest, and I think it was for the Killing Machine record, but there was a picture and they were on a motorcycle and they all had priest collars on, and they've never done that. It was just, I remember we seeing that in like Circus magazine. So we went to a clergy store in Oakland. And we went, and, you know, to find out where, and we walked in and go, oh, such nice boys, you know, you got, and we're like, you don't even know.
You don't even know what we're going to do. Exactly.
Yeah. I remember that the intro tape we had was the
bling, bling,
yeah.
bling, bling,
oh my God. Bling, but before that, there was something about opening the gates of Tiamat or something.
Your trip.
Okay, yeah, that was my trip. But the batteries were running low on my boombox, so the voice was really wild.
That was the greatest.
We put a mic up to the boombox. That was funny. It wasn't even a boombox. It was one of those little one-speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a cassette with one little speaker oven.
Dictaphone kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever. I remember that. There was we had theatrics. Remember at one point I had the little flash thing
in my finger? I think we did that with the opening for Omen at the Stone.
That's right.
We walked out there, put on the drum machine, you know, put the mic there, push play. That was funny.
Yeah, we thought we were, it was wild. And you guys stood back and it was, and just that whole thing like this.
It's kind of cool. It's more of like an organ thing. You know, if you played that on an organ, it'd be like a really evil Mr. Crowley kind of thing.
It was evil.
Yeah.
It was evil. Now, Legacy, you and Derek and Louie kind of got it together really quick, because I met you within a year's time of you kind of putting that together.
Didn't it seem like back then, like a year was forever?
It did seem like,
because I'm looking back at like the Testament discography in 87, 88, 89, 90.
Right.
And it seemed like forever, but
we did world tours, and now it's like, no, God, we haven't done a record in 6 years. I mean,
it's like 3 years, and we just did a record.
We just did one, right? I know.
It's been 3 years.
And you look back in the 70s, and bands like Black Sabbath put two records out in a year. You know what I mean? It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. But
but time was slower, I think.
And we were younger because we didn't
have. No, I mean, I think time's going quicker now.
Well, I think technology and everything.
I got to go anyway. Bye. No.
Sorry, guys, that's all you get. No, I told him we get him for a while. We get him at least through the legacy.
There you go.
Legacy stuff.
So, yeah, so we met Louie. He was actually looking for he called it a nickel bag. And we're sitting at the park listening to some tunes, a bunch of us.
Now, you're in Alameda at this point now.
We're in Alameda at a park with all our friends and just kind of hanging out. And this old, 1975 olive green huge Cadillac comes rolling up, and we're all sitting there, and then these two guys get out of the car. It's Louie and his brother
Gino,
leather jackets, you know, Levi denim over the leather,
yeah, right,
with all these patches. And we're like, whoa, no way, you know, like, that's the right, Eric, it looks like they're for you guys or something. They walk up, hey, do you guys know where to get some pot? And then I think Louis said, do you guys know any guitar players? And they're like, oh my God, Eric and Derek, because they play in their garage every day. And we just hit it off right there, it was pretty cool. And then like within a week, we were jamming at Louis' house. He didn't really have a full drum set, and I had like a bass drum and a tom in my garage, and he had like a old, some other like a half setup, whatever. But so we went and got some black, I'm having a brain fart right now, wallpaper. And so we just wallpapered the drums all black. And,
really?
Yeah. And within a day, we're all like, no, we have to have a black, we're not playing, with a green and blue drum set, it's got to be black. So we did that, and then we just started, jamming in his room.
How long before you went to Clay Street?
Maybe like 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah. His mom kicked us out. His neighbors were complaining. Derek didn't really jam with us yet because he was working at Mark Stein Beverage. So me and Lou would just kind of, got it started. Once we got to Clay Street, then we would kind of jam at night. And yeah, that's how it kind of started.
Well, that's where I come a little bit coming at. But yeah. Bluto comes in before that, and see what happened was is Derek and Eric also have another cousin named Donnie Spear, and he grew up in Dublin with Phil Demmel and I, Phil Demmel and I had a first band on parole,
Assailant,
Metal Warrior. Assailant was right before I joined Legacy.
Okay,
that kind of morphed. So then we were jamming with Donnie, and I remember him giving me a practice tape. It was Master of the Game, Secret Agent, and...
It's funny, Secret...
Was it the Legacy yet? It might have been the Legacy. No, because that was the only slow one, and they were three kind of
up-tempo. It was Curse of the Legions of Death, maybe.
It was Curse of the Legions
of Death. Or Reign of Terror.
No. It was Curse of the Legions of Death. So... I'm listening, I'm like, this is not your cousins. This is like some professional band from Europe. We don't even play metal like this in the United States.
Yeah.
And so then we started another, actually, I was playing with Phil and Victor and Troy, which was actually the beginning of Violence, and it was called Assailant. And my brother, Bluto, John Souza.
So how did we even meet Bluto?
Because you needed a bass player, okay, and because we knew Donnie, he called you first.
That's right.
And so, and then John didn't last too long in Legacy, though. And he...
He would never show up.
That's the problem.
And then he would show up with his girlfriend all the time.
All the time. Yeah, he was getting married, which is his ex-wife now. And he would show up with his girlfriend, or he wouldn't show up, and that was John's M.O. So then he got handed his walking
paper. We had fun with him, though. He was fun.
Well, John's fun.
He was funny.
I still have fun with my brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're fun.
So we're like, a singer? And he's like, yeah, my brother, and...
Well, but I didn't want to commit them because I was doing this thing with this other guy. So then every day in rehearsal, I was the only one that didn't have a girlfriend. And Phil had one, Victor had one, Troy had one, and Jeff Byronis had one that was playing bass. And I'm like, I just got tired of going to practice every day and seeing everybody's girlfriend there. So one day I just kind of quit, and I called. I says, hey, what's that guy's, what's Eric's phone? I called my brother because my brother had already been fired from you guys by then. And so that's when I called you, and I says, hey, man, I'm looking.
Well, it's so weird because your brother was in our band, but then we let him go, and then his brother joined his band.
Right. Well, I didn't even get to play with John in the band. He was already.
Yeah.
So that's when I came in, and then I was like, man, you cats are really cool and shit. It's like,
you're a trip. We were like, never met anybody like you. You're just
still haven't
very, very loud mouth, Yeah.
See, people trip.
We didn't even talk. We're just listening. You just were talking and talking and talking. We're like, who is this guy?
So,
hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Jay? I can do this. No, but anyway,
that's funny.
Anyway, that kind of how it started. And then, I remember, Legacy was the Legacy was the first song I wrote lyrics to, remember? Which we still
Castle
have.
Shadow Gray.
Castle Shadows Gray. All that.
I'm coming straight
to sacrifice.
See now. Sacrifice.
How about Master of the Game? Thrusting through the battle. for the fight's been for the evil ruler's destiny, but the fight's been gone many times before. Still the war keeps lingering. Remember that?
Dude, that is a that's Tenacious Master D song. Of the Game. That's a Tenacious
no,
D
that's
song.
No, that's Master of the Game. That's you. You stole it from Tenacious D. So anyway, that was the
it
first.
It sounds like a Tenacious D song.
Well, because you, I don't know. Maybe you're
imagine Jack Black singing
it. He could do it well. I remember all the first
lingering.
Secret Agent is First Strike is Still Deadly.
Yeah.
We called it, it was Secret Agent.
Dun, 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 dun. But I think it went dun, 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 like five times more, kept going.
And we used to open with that, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And then.
That was a lot of fun.
And so I remember joining the band and I was, you know, writing lyrics and like, we need a bass player. And I go, well, I heard of this guy. He plays bass in this band in Pleasanton, which is right next to the city I grew up in, Dublin, called R&R Crossing. And everybody told me, nah, that dude's hella loyal to that band. He'll never join you guys. So I remember I drove my little red Pinto. Remember
did you,
my red?
Did you know him yet?
Didn't know him.
Oh.
And he got the same spiel you motherfuckers did. I met him at the 7-Eleven in Pleasanton on Hop Yard. So if you guys all know where that is, the one on the early part of Hop Yard, right around... Lucky's there. I met him there in the parking lot. We must have talked for like 40 minutes. And I was like, I need a bass player.
I mean, this looks like a bass player.
Yeah,
like
he does. He, you need tall, to join my band.
Sticky.
And
you
he's
know.
Just like, you know, I go. And so then I played a practice tape of it. He's okay, well, let me check it out. And I'm like, no.
You need to come see it.
You need to come see it. So then,
so I remember he came and he sat down and we played. And I think it was like the second song. He's like, I want to be in your guys' band. I mean, he was just like, I want to do this.
And so then that was
there you go.
And then the lineup was that. It was Louis, Eric, Derek, Greg, Christian, and Zetro. And then at that point, that was the first inception of Legacy.
And you were just cracking the whip then.
Oh, because I wanted this bad. I wanted this bad. And I know everybody says, your parents all thanked me when you opened for Judas Priest for cracking the whip on your asses, too. When you guys opened to the Coliseum for Painkiller, and what a great day that was. Remember that? I go there, and all of their parents were there, and they're like, you know why they're here, Zetro? I remember Mr. Skull, Jerry Skolnick going, because you were hard on them. I go, yeah, you fuckers must have had Zetro voodoo dolls. I bet you did. But where you at now, bro? Exactly. Hey, that's right. Hard work pays off.
I can't say anything.
See? Zetro, see, I'm talking over him again. Go fuck yourselves, everyone. I get that comment a lot. I talk over my guests.
That's all
I
right.
I hate that for me. So I haven't. Have I talked over him yet, Wayne?
So imagine this, but even like 10 times more.
I know.
And then I'm like 21 and just like going, I don't even know what to say.
Well, Walter, I get Walter in here and Walter says the same
thing. So wait a
thing.
Minute. You're telling me that we had the success of Judas Priest because you cracked,
no.
cracked the whip?
No, I think that, that's what your parents were telling me that even okay. Marcia said that to me.
Oh, I remember them saying, we'll come see you when you play
the Coliseum.
Coliseum.
And they all and came that
like,
night.
Like, ha, ha, ha.
Even and when they got there, every one of your parents said, you know why they're here? Because the discipline you put in them. You are Jerry told me that. Your mom told me that. Greg's dad, who hated me. I used to pick up Greg Christian for practice.
Did he even have parents?
Yes, like, his mother passed away. Remember?
No, right no, no. Before. I know, but I was more. It was more like Othmar, you know, like the Peanuts.
Kinda.
Because it's like, do you really? Who do you live with?
Well, his dad. His dad.
Because we'd go to his house and you'd hear him in the bathroom going.
Greg. And he hated me. His dad, and then...
Well, like, he was military, right? He was like...
Well, Navy he was kind of very straight and laced, yeah. And what we were trying to do was not the
if
norm.
If I ever met him, I pictured he'd be like on that 70s show dad.
I would say that Jackass. He was pretty close to the 70s show's dad, and he's all... I remember he yelled at Greg one time and while I was there, and he goes... And you have this you're following around this character everywhere. Character. And I'm like, oh, character now, huh? And so now I'd have to call Greg on his phone and hope that he, because there's no cell phones now, well, I hope that he would pick it up and go, yo, Greggy, I'm leaving my house in 10 minutes. I'll meet you down at the end of the street because his old man did not want to see me. You know, he.
I almost picture it like, except you're not a hot, you know, fine babe, but it's like Weird Science where she goes in and tells Gary's parents, don't threaten me.
Exactly.
You were probably like that.
Us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I
he's
remember.
He's probably all,
His old man was like, "You're following this. You wasted all of your mom's inheritance." Remember, because he went and bought all the Galleon Kruger shit.
Oh yeah.
And he goes, "You wasted all your mother's inheritance on that gear and to go out to that place in Oakland and follow this character around." And I was like, "That's me." And so
I had no clue that you guys had those conversations.
Oh, he was not a big guy.
But you guys were in Dublin. We were in Dublin.
You guys were
out there. So you guys would show up.
You know? I had to show up and pick him up. Yeah. After a while, I mean, it was like, oh, God. But he did. He came to me and at the Judas Priest show for Painkiller. He did. He was one of the ones. I was like, oh, there's Greg's old man. He's going to let me have it. He came up and he says, "Hey, Zetro." And I said, "Hey." And he goes, "He's all I'd have to say that... you were right. They were, and you were very hard on them. And I think that has to attribute to why." Very straight laced. And that was the only compliment I got out of the motherfucker forever. And that was it. And he didn't say another thing, but it was cool. Your mom was like, "Yeah, Zed, see, you kicked their ass. That's why they're here." And Jerry Skolnick was like, "I believe you being..."
Were they all sitting together or something?
No, they were like, oh. We had them in the backstage.
So you were bouncing around, visiting all the...
Well, because I was visiting. I didn't have to play that night. So I was social butterfly. So I was like sitting. And of course, I knew all of your parents, especially Greg's dad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and you know, I came up to say hello and show my respect to them. And they were all very thankful for me for being, I guess, such a dick.
So our first show. Do you remember our first show?
Yes.
So I even have the ticket still. I was like a little blue.
I got the picture, and I'm going like this.
Yeah, and I got a Venom shirt.
And you got a Venom shirt, and you're standing in the back, and there's this netting. I have that picture. Remember that? Didn't we play four songs or three?
It was in Alameda. It was above the record gallery.
That's right.
And we opened up for Rebels and Infidels, and they were a punk band that jammed in our rehearsal studio on Clay Street. But...
who else? There was two other...
It's so funny because there was probably like, what, 30 people there?
If we were lucky.
And they were all punk rockers. So we were, you know, we were just friends with the Rebels of Infidels. And every other band in there were all about Judas Priest and, you know, docking kind of bands and, you know, doing gigs. And you know, there's always girls in their rooms.
Was it Nasty Licks we played with? There was three bands that day.
I think maybe Nasty Licks too. Because they'd have to come through our room to go to their room.
Right. So I think it was Rebels, or was it Black Leather?
No.
Dave Starr's band.
No. I don't think we ever played with Black Leather.
We didn't.
No.
I thought we did one gig back then when it was just Rick and Drew, when they were a three-piece. I thought we did.
They always were a three-piece, but no. I think it was Nasty Licks, us, and Rebels and Infidels. But that was the show where Willie Lang and Chuck was actually there too.
That's right.
Hanging out to come watch, you know, Zetro's band.
Zetro's first band. Is
Rebels. And, remember after the show, they're all, "You guys ready to play with the big boys?" Yeah, and that was...
Willie said that.
Yeah, Willie said that.
And he said, yeah.
And it was Slayer. No, it was Exodus.
No, it was Legacy.
Lost Rocket.
No, it was...
Headlining. Slayer, Legacy.
I know. Yeah. And we were so... And we had fans that thought we were good. We were all like, "Cling, cling, cling, cling." Had the freeze collars.
And we played the Legacy too, right?
We did that night. We did. We played four songs. I remember Willie again, "How big are your balls?" I go, "They're big as hell." So good, because you guys are playing the Stone with us and Slayer on Friday.
We were the Stone. Like, that was like, we made it.
We're playing the Stone. Oh my God. So pretty wild back then.
That was fun, yeah.
A lot of fun.
And it's funny, I remember Dave Lombardo backstage, I think he took like four Black Beauties or something, and he's just walking around going, chemical warfare, and I'm like, what's chemical? It's our new song.
That was a fun time.
Good times. Yeah,
very fun time. We're going to take a break, and we are going to come right back with Mr. Eric Peterson. Welcome back. We are back with Eric Peterson, and we are talking back in the day. We are talking Legacy. Good to have you in.
Good to be here.
Now again, we've talked about Eric and Derek as that. I mean, if you talk to anybody back in them days, and even when I was in the band, you guys were like yin and yang, definitely inseparable. And then one day, I get a call from you, and you're like, "What's up, Zet? Derek quit." And I'm like, "What?" And he didn't call any of us. He didn't even show up and say anything to anyone else, but Derek quit. And I vaguely remember him, was it over a girlfriend or something? I don't know what it was.
The only thing that really stuck in my head was, he's all, "I'm going to start a new band."
I didn't know that.
I don't know. I think it was you maybe
something new all the time.
I don't know. I don't know.
I remember you calling me and going, "What's up, Zach?"
Well, he also had a job. He was working.
Right. But that didn't, because fuck, we used to roll that job. Remember, we'd get all the beer. That's where we got all our beer for practice, was because
our drum
riser. You used to work
our
there.
Our drum riser was old Michelob beer.
That's right.
Yeah. So whenever we wanted a beer, we'd just lift up the curtain, pull a beer.
Boom, pull a beer, exactly.
And Louis Simmels would fall down like, "Dude, stop taking the beer from the front."
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Remember, he'd sit there, Louis, and just shine the one symbol like it was his baby. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Smoking a cigarette.
He's just shining. You shine that symbol, Lou? Anyway,
and
I'm like.
Go like, he always tripped on his arms, remember? He'd always go.
Really? I never tripped on that. Wow, Lou, if you're watching, I know you'll be watching this one. Didn't know you did that. Love you, though, brother. I thought it was like, the minute he did that, I was like, Derek and Eric is, what do you mean? This is no, there's no more. And it was really sudden, and it was like really abrupt. And we had just played at Ruthie's the week before, and we had just hired Alexis Olson as our manager. And I remember my next call after you called me was to Alexis and go, "Guess what, Alexis? Derek quit the band." And that's when Alexis goes,
"I know who I can get.
Don't worry. I know a guy."
Yeah.
And he goes,
so everybody always knew a guy. So
everybody, yeah, well, because we were all
and everybody that was the guy was also in a band, like, "Well, I don't know, you know." I think Alex was in a band called Thorn something. Throne.
I didn't even know he was in a band.
Rose of Thorns or something to do with thorns. I don't know. Maybe he'll write in when he watches this. And
I remember when I told him, when I asked him.
But he was committed. He goes, "Yeah, I'm kind of committed to this." And so really? So anyway, he comes in. He's wearing his Van Halen white and black striped shirt. Plugs in his guitar. And it was just so, you know, kind of awkward. And yeah.
He was up about this high.
His nose was running. And he's, you know, kind of.
His nose still runs.
We love you, Alex.
We love you.
But no, he put it on. It is
one of the world's greatest fucking guitar players to ever walk this.
And then we were just like, "Wait, Yngwie's joining your band?"
Well, that was the thing. I mean, I had went. I don't know if it was you and me and Louis and Alexis went to his house. Remember? And we went in his bedroom, and it's like, "Yeah, I wanted to hand the kid a fucking Kleenex." And so we go in there, and he's in the corner, and he's just ripping arpeggios on this white star fucking guitar. Yeah, yeah. And we're like, "You're gonna join our band, dude." And then he's like, and then remember we had to go have a dinner with his dad. And
oh my God,
I think your dad was there too, right? Didn't Stan come with that? I know it was Elliot. It was Alexis's father. It was Alexis's father, me, you, Louie, his Elliot, which became your lawyer, which was Jerry's Alex Skolnick's father's mentor. This, which turned into Testament's lawyer, and actually Exodus's
he's still lawyer, a lawyer
Elliot Kahn.
Yeah.
He's managed some bands as well. He actually played in Sha Na Na.
Yeah,
he played Woodstock. If you see, watch Woodstock.
Gold
in
suit.
Sha Na Na, he's
gold
the one.
Suit.
He's one in the gold suit and the guitar.
He's in the back dancing. He's in the Sha Na Na.
Yeah, yeah, he's there. So he became a musician's lawyer, and he was Alex's father's kind of like
protege.
He was his protege and ear to what we were
protégé.
Doing. His protege. And so he kind of, we had this meeting and Alex joined the band, 15 years old.
That's right.
From then, it was unbelievable. And then not.
But you're not allowed to play any shows on the weekdays. And when we were standing in the entryway of his house, he said, "But Mom, we got a show, you know, tonight." And, you know, we're standing there and he goes storming upstairs. I don't know if he started crying, but he was very upset. And his parents were telling us, you know, but he's got school. And so he ended up sneaking out the window to play some shows a couple of times when we played.
Yeah, because we had week show. Back in our day,
there
were shows on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Metal Mondays.
There was Ruthie's has got a show. It starts at 6 on Wednesday night.
I would stay the night at his house and then we would sneak out his window.
You know,
and they would never bug us. So we'd get back in.
Just like you saw in all those high school teen movies, right?
Totally
getting back in. But I remember that. And so, you know, Eric, it wasn't too much longer after that Louis decided that he...
It was the girlfriend thing.
It was had the girlfriend, and I believe she was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And she had his baby, and he wanted... Which I respect. I didn't then, but I do now. I respect.
Yeah. We were kids, you know. We were just like, what about the band, Lou?
Exactly, so...
But, yeah, I mean, he left the band, and... I don't even know how we got Mike Ronchetti.
Okay, so this is how we got Ronchetti.
How's that story go?
He was playing in that band from Alameda, Black Bible or something like that, or Righteous Sire, or one of those bands. And so one of you guys called him. It wasn't me.
I probably called him. I don't know.
And said that, hey, man, we want you to join this band.
I probably called him.
And he didn't want to leave his band. But then
when he heard us,
then he did leave his band. And so he joined us. And again, this now, timeline seems like 10 years long, but it was really only about maybe 3 years total from me joining you guys to all that stuff to joining Exodus.
And it was within a year, all the stuff that we did with Mike.
Yes, it was. That was a big year.
But it was a step up.
Was a big year.
Mike was really good at fast double bass.
He was.
And
I think
he was really into the darker stuff like me, listening to Celtic Frost, Merciful Fate.
Yeah.
I ended up hanging out with him a lot. We'd get beers.
He was still in high school, Eric, when he was playing with Legacy. Yeah. He hadn't even graduated high school yet when he was playing with Legacy. Yeah. And
Alex, too. I remember picking up Alex up at
his in house high school. Because he was only 15.
No, when he was in high school, I'd go pick him up at school. He'd come walking out.
Finally, I remember when he could finally drive. Remember, we were all pleased. He drove that little gold box looking
bucket. It was an Audi.
Was that what it was? Yeah. His little box. Of course it was an Audi.
Yeah.
And I just remember. And it
was, I had the box. I had the Opel Cadet. Be the
worst driver back then. Yeah, you had the Ranchero for a while too.
Remember, that was
a
badass car.
Your dad's
Ranchero. But I'd run out of gas and have to pour water, or not water, gas in the carburetor to get it to going. Because
the things we used to do back in those days. But it wasn't too much longer that Louie decided to go. And then when he did, when we got in Ronchetti, joined, and we went up and finally did, which is the, everybody tells me all this all the time. Our demo is the world record book, the most selling demo ever. Hmm. That demo. Somebody just told me that while we were in Europe on Bass Strikes Back Tour, that the Legacy demo.
It was considered like American, a record.
It was, but in the
year. Do you remember the reviews too?
Oh God, it was.
It was with the records. It wasn't in the demo. Right.
No, it was with the records.
And we were like, whoa.
And so we did that demo, and we remember going to Prairie Sun and recording it. We thought we were, this is the big time now, pal.
And we had like 2 days to do it.
Yeah, we were on, come on, they did the fucking
album. And this is where you're going to sleep tonight. We'd go in there, and we're like, wow, man, look, this is where we're going to sleep.
Cool little house, and we're recording.
Yeah.
Up there doing my demo. We thought it was a 24-track
studio. I almost got kicked out of the band, though.
Yeah, right, remember that.
You're all, asked about that. You're like,
why? Why?
Well, because we all had to come up with money.
Right. And why, Eric? Right. I tell that all the time.
You got to get a job.
You got to get... And same thing with rent every month, Eric.
Yeah.
Where was Eric? I'd be like, Eric, behind his amp, like, playing. It's like, okay, we got to pay rent today. His amp would go louder. And then I go, Eric, where's yours? Oh, yeah. Check it out. Yeah. It's... I got... here, Zet. I think I got like $15. I'm like... You motherfucker. And I remember having that talk with you. You need to get this together. For us to do this together, we all have to work. We all have to bring
this. How much do we have to come up with each?
$1,500, but it was for the whole thing. But
right. I think it was like $300. My dad gave it to me. I think it was
$300 each.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of money in 1985 for us. Yeah. You understand?
Hell yeah.
It was a lot of money. And so you would have kicked out. Yeah, you would. That would have called it all. But the demo was quite successful for all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For what we were trying to do, that there was.
And we wanted to sign the first deal we got.
And there was 12 deals on the table, and we were lucky we didn't. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Music for Nations. And we were like, Music for Nations.
Yeah, I know. Look, they got Metallica.
Metallica's on there.
They got Metallica. We got to go with them. Wait,
wasn't Exodus on that?
Yeah. Exodus too? Was too.
Yeah.
Exodus first was. Most of the metal bands out from our genre were on Music for Nations at that time. And it was. That was a very exciting period for everybody.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had grown up with Chuck for years. And then I'd known him from Rampage and Guilt And so
that's the band he was in.
Right, that was the band he was in. Yeah. It was actually I'm going to say a hair metal band, kind of. They were. Yeah, would you say that?
They were more like Icon.
Icon, right? From,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember
it
that
was, it was heavy, but it was still.
Yeah.
You know, they still put handkerchiefs around their legs and stuff like that.
That kind of stuff like that. Yeah, guitar player was Danny Gill.
Frosted hair.
Frosted hair. Guitar player was Danny Gill. Very, another shredder, you know.
He was badass.
From the Joe Satriani school of it. And so, you know, when people always ask, what was Exodus or what was Legacy? Most of the Bay Area thrash bands modeled ourselves not behind Metallica by Exodus. We, you know, everybody wanted to be Exodus. I knew I loved Exodus. It was brutal and it was just sheer, you know, and just Bayloth and the whole thing. So,
Bayloth.
I mean, you know, I had the opportunity to go there. Nobody knew what was going to happen. And again, it was a powerhouse thing. And we just talked about that during the
break. It was funny how each of us stepped up, though. It was like, you know, Metallica was already well on their way,
right?
Already touring the world. Then it was Exodus selling out Ruthie's and the Stone.
Yeah, and then
we were, you know, opening for them. And then they got signed and they left. And then it was our turn.
Yeah.
And then we were selling out. And then, you know, Violence was opening for us. And
yeah, it all turned.
It just kept going. Boom, 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 boom.
It kept going.
A lot of people always say, "Why? What happened to the scene?" And I'm like, "We all got signed and went on tour. We left and we came back. It was all funk."
Yeah, there was no, well, what we were doing at the time was no longer the flavor of the month. So that type of stuff is not going to be there. But it worked out to where we've always talked about this, and we do this. And I want you guys to know that we always say that it worked out great for everyone. So that you guys that love, you know, we all loved Paul, obviously. We loved Bonded by Blood. But you guys identify with me as being the singer for Exodus. And you identify with
Chuck. You had a hard time in the beginning, though.
I did. They were hard on me. They were.
They all turned their back on you.
Oh, remember that?
The whole front row was just like.
And what did I do?
talk shit.
And jumped in the crowd. Remember? I chewed them all out. Remember Streffen?
Oh, yeah.
And Toby Rage.
I've just
and all
seen
that.
Him recently.
Streffen is a guy. I love Streffen. He's my guy.
Because he hasn't talked to me, and I'm like, okay.
I got to get him on my
and
show.
Then he's all, you know, Sacrilege. And I'm like, oh, it's you.
Yeah, he does movies now. He does documentaries, really high end.
That's killer.
And so they kind of turned their back during the last Legacy show. And during the first Exodus show, they tossed full cans of beers at me and hit me, by the way. And I mean full cans of beers.
And that
they
was
were buying them to throw. June 1986.
Yeah, but where was that at? It was the...
The Farm.
The Farm. That's right.
Oh, I got tortured the first night.
Yeah.
I remember after like the second song, the music stopped and the whole crowd's chanting Bayloth. It was fucking...
Dude.
Welcome to rock. You wanted this, Zetro. Welcome to rock and roll.
Wow.
So, but it was tough and, you know, and then I remember...
So rewind before your gig with Exodus. When you left Legacy,
but I mean our amicable that was amicable because we had said you know we you know you guys had decided that you wanted to try Chuck out. It was him and the guy from the band.
No, before that. So how I got wind of it was we just wrote one of our best songs, Apocalyptic City, and I'm like, man, it's been like 2 weeks and he said hasn't written lyrics yet, and he didn't even finish The Haunting yet. So I finished the second verse on that, and you're like, okay, cool, yeah, with it. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, you would be like, no, dude, why are you trying to write my lyrics? So, you know, we ended up playing that song live.
I remember this, but God, I love this. I'm sure it happened.
And I'm like, I remember I was on my mom's phone, and I was like, somebody told me that you had been jamming with Exodus. And my heart was just going bum 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 bum, like my girlfriend's cheating on me.
What a dick!
And I called you up, and I called you.
God, I feel funny right now too. I feel like, oh my God, I just got caught.
And you're like,
all over again.
I didn't want it to come out like this, man. And you know, we were just like, I'm also, it's true. You're fucking somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
is that how that went down?
Yeah. And then
how long after did?
Then we had practice, and then you told everybody.
That's right.
And you started crying.
I did.
Telling, you know,
I did. We all started crying.
Look, I'm not getting any younger. I think you're what? You're like 20 or 21.
I think I was 22. I just turned 22.
You were so old.
But I remember at those times, Eric, and you know.
But
as well,
they're getting a major record.
If they get 30,
hold on.
Okay.
They're getting a major
record.
Is that what
I said?
Yeah, they're getting them on Capitol Records, and we're going to be major, and we're like, yeah, but we gotta, you know, yeah. So we got it. Okay, you know, Exodus is rising, and that'll be cool. So we had one more gig to do at Ruthie's, and I remember when you announced the new song. I don't know. I think you called it. We called it Apocalyptic City.
No, because I never sang Apocalyptic City. Because
But we played it.
Really?
I played it live, and you said, "If I see anybody in the pit, something, I'm going to destroy you or something." Because I have a practice tape of it.
Oh, you do?
And I think you jumped down there. And
I did.
Fought somebody.
I chewed them out. Nobody wanted any.
Yeah.
It was like 10 of them. I was pissed because anybody who was trying to come up and rage for Legacy, they were pushing down, and it wasn't. My take was, if you have a problem with me, come and fight me. Yeah. These guys didn't do anything.
So we played the song, and I'm like going, listening to it, going, wow, yeah, there's no lyrics on this. And I was just like, I couldn't believe that you wouldn't write lyrics for that song. Mm-hmm. So that was the first song that me and Alex kind of wrote together. Uh-huh. You know, we're like, well, we're going to have to write this. And I don't think you ever sang it, the lyrics that we had.
No.
Chuck came in.
No, Chuck did, because I named the song. And that was it. I said, I want the song called Apocalyptic City.
That's right.
And then I was about ready to, remember, Rock and Roll, Mock, that cartoon that I watched? And it was, remember, that's where I got the idea from. Yeah. It's a cartoon from the 80s. It's about music, rock music. It's called Rock and Roll. Hmm. And that's where I got the idea for Apocalyptic City.
Wow.
And so if you really want to research that, and these, believe me, my viewers are very informed.
I don't know if the lyrics resembled that cartoon.
But that's where I came
from. Yeah.
I don't think they did, but that's where I got the idea for it. So I remember us playing the last thing, and we were good. It was, you know, it wasn't, we were,
yeah,
not,
we had
like,
fun.
What a fucking dick, you know what I mean? It was kind of an amicable thing.
We were
thing.
Just like, okay, so Zet made it, you know?
Well, not really. Not really.
So,
come to find out.
The irony, and we'll skip ahead a little bit, but we ended up getting signed to Atlantic Megaforce.
Well, we were on Combat.
And no. You guys were waiting. You guys had lawyers trying to negotiate your deal, and it ended up taking, what, 2 years?
2 years.
So Testament.
We're out of here. Yes.
We were Legacy. We became Testament, and then we toured the world, and then you guys were still waiting to still waiting to do a record, and the tables just kind of turned.
Yeah, they did. They did actually. Hey, they did.
And we were like, how ironic is that?
That it's so ironic. Ha ha. Yeah. What a cut, Zet. You know, stick your finger up your butt. But let's talk about Chuck getting in now. I wasn't out all that long before you had, was it the guy from Abattoir from LA? He was the only other guy that tried out, right?
He never tried out. We wrote him a letter. We actually called him, and he was like, you know, I'm Abattoir's, I forgot how he put it, but, you know, I'm committed to Abattoir, and, you know, we got shit going on, and we're going to make it. And I don't know why everybody said that. We're going to make it. You know, it's like,
I love we're going to make it.
We're going to make it.
You know, make what? What are you going to make? Cake?
Make a record.
There's nothing to make. Believe
me. So, he said no. You have suggested Chuck. Well, I remember me and Louie going, okay, well, let's go watch him.
This is what happened. I'm out. I think I was jogging, and I had just joined Exodus, and I was in Dublin, and I saw Chuck. And he's all, damn, Zet, you, I can't believe you joined glasses Exodus. Off. Is his glasses off? Look, everybody, this is a monumental moment. And he goes, damn, Zet, I can't believe you joined Exodus, because Bonded by Blood had come out, and it was, you know, everybody, it was on the tip. Everybody, was a great record, probably the best release of Abe that year, you know what I mean? At least, you know, of the newest bands that ever come out, anyway.
Never left the turntable.
To this day, you know, I told him, I says, yeah, I go. He's all, what's Legacy going to do? I go, they're going to try you out. And he goes, what? I go, well, I was talking to Eric, and he said that he wouldn't be opposed to considering trying you out. He goes, and he looks at me and he goes,
those are kids.
No, he goes, no, because they was only 2 years older than us.
I know, but back then, Chuck
he
was
goes,
like,
he goes, he goes, no, he goes, thrash metal? Like, I can't do that. And I go, you can do it, Chuck, no problem. And we didn't call him Charlie back then. We called him Cheese.
Yeah, Cheese.
Remember, we called him Chuck E. Cheese. And I go, Cheese, you can do this, no problem. So then I actually came to rehearsals, remember? And the first couple to sing the songs with him so he could learn. Remember that?
I don't remember that.
It was that amicable that I came with Chuck to 3 rehearsals and I went over how I attacked the songs, because he's like,
I don't think he even sang though. I think he just kind of watched you, because I sat with him.
No,
too.
No, he did not sing.
Yeah.
He didn't sing.
Because I remember.
He didn't sing.
His enunciation on the fast stuff, he just. Was, he right. didn't get it.
You know, he was didn't just get like. It. That was tough for him.
And at I would first sit there was, and I was sitting there and go.
And my.
And lyrics, he would just be looking at me going, hmm.
And my lyrics. And
But he would look at me like, you know, back then. He just was like, is he going to kick my ass if I tell him, you know? Because I mean, he had a reputation.
And he was.
And I knew him prior, or his brother, Billy. We'd go to part. We'd always. Andy. Not Andy. Bill. Eddie.
Eddie.
That's who I knew. And, well, Eddie was in Violence, too. What, didn't he start Violence?
He was the first bass player of Violence. After me and I joined Legacy, Troy and Phil went and got Perry and Eddie.
Yeah.
And Jerry Burr to start Violence. That's how that
And happened. I always get confused between them. The singer, Eddie and Jerry kind of looked alike.
Yeah,
a
they
bit.
Did. Yeah, I know.
But so anyway, so we, you know, like I said, we're going back. We'd always go to parties and Chuck would always be like by the keg.
Chuck would tell you if you could have a beer.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
And I remember going to get a beer once and he looked at me and goes, he's cool, man, or something like that.
Do you remember the sword you're Zetro's used to buddy. Carry? You don't remember the sword he used to carry in the Celica?
I know he used it.
Yeah. He would chase you with a fucking sword, dude, and was
I've
not
seen,
afraid.
I've seen him chase people.
Thank you. You know, well, yeah, you've been around him now for 34 years, yeah. So you know him intimately well enough. So, yeah, think about that one ten all the time,
Eric. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, he seemed older to us because he was more, and all of Chuck's friends are like 6'8". Or something to me back then, like
Jimmy
and you know, Zetro, Bluto, the Bopper, Kid,
exactly,
Filthy. You guys all had
names. We all had handles. Everybody funny. Had a handle.
It was cool.
That's the way it was. If you can't kid, so, exactly. Everybody had a handle here.
It was wow. We're like Dublin's a
trip. Nobody even went. None of us went on our own names. We all had handles. G Money. Everybody.
What was my nickname?
E? No, you were just Eric. You were just Eric. You were from W. You didn't have one.
You called me Ewick.
Ewick. I used to call you Ewick. Ewick.
Ewick.
Hi, Ewick.
No, Ewick, but then I think all of Chuck's buddies called me E. What's up, E?
Yeah, they call you that now.
Yeah.
They call you that now. Goss.
Goss Rot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
And Goss would always come to practice with Chuck.
Right.
So, you know, again, like 6'8" dudes, you know, just.
No, big. Oh, exactly.
We were just like. When Chuck would leave, we're like, whoa.
We would go to parties, and not just me, but these guys could devastate.
Oh, yeah.
We would go to parties.
I remember.
And we would get in fights with people.
Yeah.
And
we would just crash parties.
Chuck could do 5 guys himself. You know, honestly, it was like you'd see bodies flying, and Jimmy, and it's just the way it was. We were rowdy. We'd go. What's up? You guys can't come in. Fuck you. We're coming in. Kick the door open. Where's the beer? Hey, we're here. Hey, you know, like what's that Van Halen said?
We became the Fish Club, the Snug Club. You remember the Fish Club, right?
No.
We'd go to parties. Yes. And we would eat people's fish out of their aquarium. Yes. And they'd be like appalled. Like,
I remember that. I remember. Vicky,
why
my
do we
girlfriend,
do that?
She can't believe we did that. She goes, you guys just eat fish. I go, yeah. I remember we went to this guy's house and we sat there. Everybody's like, dude, it's your turn now. And just grabbed me. Eating their live fish. God, what was wrong with us?
I don't know. We just thought it was
cool. I took some guy's fish tank and threw it in his pool and killed all his fish. What a dick. We would go to parties, just be rowdy, drunk. You know what? That's why we get what we get. You know what I mean? This is what we deserve. We got our come up.
Yeah. Stuff comes around.
Oh, it came around big way.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But, I mean, I think a lot of people always, you know, go, well, what if you would have done this? And what if I honestly, I don't know if there'd be 2 great bands right now. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what
it was all meant to be. You know
what I mean? And I'm glad that, you know, honestly, I it's great that Chuck took it really and moved it to another level. And he really does it really well. And I mean, a lot of people don't know that I was the singer. Most of the old school do, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't, I can't
see. You wrote some classic stuff, man. Alone in the Dark. I mean, we still play the songs that you wrote.
Over the Wall.
Raging Water. Over the Wall is like, I mean, what do you want to call that? That's the cornerstone of, it's just,
probably one of the best lyrics I'd ever written.
And it just, and the song itself.
The song, it's just.
The arrangement. the all the riffs, how everything goes. It was like our first professional. I remember when you wrote it too. We were in practice in Hayward. And you're like, look at my lyrics here.
Well, the dynamics of the song, the construction.
It was cool. I was just like, wow.
But the dynamics of that, like, you know, when Greg wrote the part that goes, we never stopped. That is so killer. That's like when you wrote that.
Everybody had a part.
Right.
And it was a.
And that was a true band thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, but I mean, going to.
What about
singing it? Chuck does a great job with all of that stuff.
Before Chuck coming back in, though, getting Louie back.
Oh, yeah.
So that was.
But that's right at the point when I was joining X, because Louie was only back for like maybe one gig for me.
Mm.
Remember that?
Okay.
And so, okay, we forgot to talk about that.
So I hadn't seen him for a while. We did our demo. And I think he called me up one day and he was just like, hey, man.
You were pushing that move too, by
so,
the way.
Yeah, so we started hanging out. We lived in Alameda and I played him the demo and he was just like, you know, regretting it. Like, man, I should have, you know, and I'm breaking up with Anna now. And Anna was his girlfriend. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Anna. She watches.
I know. I told her I'm going to be on the show.
Yeah, so. Well, she watches and she sent me a message.
And she sings. She sounds really
good.
Yeah,
that's what I hear. Good for her. Well, you're welcome to come on the show and we can talk old legacy stories, Anna. You're welcome. Get a hold of me. Private message me and I'll get you my producer and we'll make this happen because she's got some stories.
I actually remember, because it's on a practice tape, she came in one practice and she was like, how come the lights aren't on? And you're like, because the lights aren't happening right now, mama.
No way.
It's hella funny. And I told her that yesterday.
What a character.
And she started cracking up. It was hella funny.
But we used to do, we thought that was all the norm. We would not play, turn the lights off, turn them down. No way, we're going to practice.
Well, they didn't have that dimmer. And we would put like, we had a painter light. We put like a red and
a red and a green.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
and
it was.
And you turn the lights on, it's like,
dude, turn it down.
Because it was like a school room or something. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. So then.
Why aren't the lights on? Because the lights ain't happening right now, mama. It threw the mic with your delay. But so anyway, I ended up getting like a little, it was like a closet at our same studio. And I jammed with Lou for like about 2 weeks. And I got him back up to par. And then
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I snuck him. So
because you were the major one trying to push that move on me.
So I think I said, hey, I just talked to Lou, man. You know, I haven't seen him for a while, and he wants to try out again. And you know, and you guys are like, no way. You know, Lou. I'm like, well, you got to hear him. He plays really good now.
Well, no, it wasn't that.
It was something like that.
I was okay. This is what the deal was. I don't think we were really happy with Mike at that point because Mike's commitment to us practice-wise was not there. I remember he would go like...
He's drinking a lot of beers.
He couldn't make it to practice on sometimes.
Yeah.
And he'd call us and he didn't want to do it and he got mad because, you know, and we couldn't find him. So again, like Erica says, I
just remember him starting to drink a lot.
I was a whipcracker and if you're not doing the job, somebody else will. So... During this period, now that I know you're working with Louie, you kept saying.
And I must have started working with Louie because of.
Maybe it was that way because
maybe I seen something going on.
And so Mike wasn't showing up.
Yeah.
And I've had Mike on the show before. I love him. His sister lives down the street. I still see Mikey. And he's welcome here anytime because it's obviously, you know.
We're just talking about history. So.
It's all history. Yeah. And I was.
But you guys were blown away. Like, wow, Lou just like. Improved like, but you didn't know that.
Yeah, but I didn't know that you were behind our backs. You learn something new every time here on the vault. I see. Well, I did not know that. I did not know this.
We were being sneaky.
You were being sneaky, but he did. He came back in,
and with a vengeance.
He like, came back in. We did one more gig together with him back in. Actually, that was the last show with. Yeah. No, we did one, and then the last show before I left that everybody knew I was leaving, and that was Louie, and then. I remember him. I remember coming and going, like, you know, you sure this is gonna be a good move for you? Is that, he was like trying, being very like serious, not emotional, like serious. You okay? Okay. And you know what? Hey, man, I'm behind anything you want to do. I've always loved. You know what I mean? And Louie was really cool about that. I think you know everybody was hurt, but it worked out. And like you said, by 1987, Zed Who right? The Legacy came out, and well, Chuck established himself.
You were quitting because you were going to do. You guys are going to be on a major label, and you wanted. Back then, we, you know, 30, you're done.
You're done. Well, right. And I was 20, tried 8 years to do it, right?
I'm 56 now, and you know what? 56, 57? 56. Yeah. So, I mean, can you imagine back then going, dude, we're going to be touring the world, sold out.
Dude, we're going to do this tour when we're all 56. Chuck's going to be 58.
56! We're going to be bald.
The Bass Strikes Back, and everybody, I mean, we're going to be 500 pounds, which we're not 500 pounds, but we're up there, you know what I mean? Still got hair. We still got our hair, but it's mine is going white very quickly.
Looks good. I like it like that.
I like it like
that. You should dye it silver.
Well, it's gone.
Black streaks.
I don't have to. It's already doing that. So, it worked out good. I mean, I think that, you know, especially you guys, and Chuck running the, you know, the way he runs everything and the way he approaches it. I mean, you know, what a great choice. Think back of it now. What if you would, that guy from Abattoir would have said, yeah, let me try this out. I don't know if you would have got.
Everything played out the way it was.
Everything played out great. It was really cool, and it's great that them, you know, I still write lyrics for Testament. I have since
you've contributed quite some stuff.
Formation since the formation of Damnation. Yeah. I have something on every record.
Yeah.
So you know, I still feel very.
Well, close what was the guys. One on this last one? False Prophet.
False Prophets. Yeah. False Prophets off Titan.
It's a good song.
So good song, and I, you know, and it's good to be able to. You know, still be able to be creative and do that for you guys. Because if you think about any bands, that would be like Halford or Dickinson writing lyrics for each other on one of their records. You know, how cool would that be from a fan standpoint?
I think Dickinson actually played on one of the Halford records.
Didn't they do a record together? It was Dickinson and Halford?
I couldn't even tell the difference. I'm like, that's Bruce?
But I mean, not even if for a Halford record. I'm talking for, this is for Testament. I don't write for Eric's side project. I write for Testament.
I think I asked you at one point. I needed a little bit of help with Dragon Lord, but I think I ended up doing it anyway. So,
which I'm cool out. To do. Yeah. I mean, I get asked all the time. And
so, what about Exodus? What's going on there? You guys are getting ready.
We're going up now. We go up to
Tom's place.
As this is being taped,
What's the record called? What's the record?
I don't even know. Oh. They told me nothing.
No.
Okay, so everybody knows it because I've talked about it over the couple of weeks. I haven't written any lyrics as of right now. Gary's doing that. I'm sure I will. I haven't heard any of the songs other than each of them telling me how brutally heavy it is. So I'm going to bring the camera. Remember my little camera that I had when we were on tour? I'm going to bring that up there, and we'll be doing the vault remotely. So I'm going
bring
to
bring it when you first go there, though. So it's fresh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, guys, I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I'm going to definitely, you know, when I come up, I want everybody to, because we're going to try to capture that as well.
And Jack's going to engineer
Jack's here. No. A guy named Steve Lagudi.
Okay.
He's going to engineer it. Jack's here now. I got a call from him yesterday. They're actually getting all the, you know, mobile recording shit together now, and they're going to drive it up.
But does Tom live, like, on a ranch or
Lake
something?
Lake Almanor. He lives on a lake.
Oh, nice.
Up in Lake Almanor. So any of you people up Northern California, Exodus will be invading that territory from all of September and October. And what's good about this one, Eric, is we don't have any time limit on it. It's an open end because now nobody can go on tour, and we're not quite sure when the record is.
Take your time, write a killer
Tom
record.
Tom doesn't have to take his drums down through the whole recording process.
That's killer.
So
get it right.
If he comes up that he wants to change something, or we're writing somewhere something in the middle of the process, the drums are already set
keep
up.
Keep them up.
And just keep them up. So we're going to do that, and that's basically how we're going to do this. And we're all going to go up there and hang out at a lake with just the guys and. I'm sure next year sometime everybody will finally get some heavy.
Hopefully we get part two of The Bay Area Strikes Back.
No, part two, and then there'll be part three, part four, part five. Four. We had so much lined up.
There was four of them lined up.
Well, I know we were going to do, so just to say, all of the states would have been September, October.
Yeah.
And then we were going back over to Europe for November, December to do some of the places where we had gone. And then, like you said, behind the Iron Curtain,
Russia, Estonia, Ukraine,
Greece. We were going to go down to Greece. So,
damn.
We are not
Japan.
We're Japan. Remember, we were Japan as well. I forgot. God, that was in September. That would have been next month.
So, and then I think we had something booked in, not China, but Singapore.
Was it really?
Yeah, there was some stuff booked there. And then we were like, really? We're going there? The pandemic, you know? And then Australia. Just, yeah. We actually canceled Australia, and the promoter was
twice.
Like, they're like, you know, we bought all the tickets, and they're like, oh, no, don't cancel. Then everybody else is going to cancel, and blah, blah, blah. So we bought the tickets again, and then a week later, they're all, it's canceled. We're like, ugh.
I feel for you guys, man. So it's kind of...
And then the record comes out, we're like, oh, man. But you know what? At least people got to have a kick-ass record.
That's what I say.
During these times. So
I said that. I've been saying that on my show when we were talking about the record, when I had Chuck in here. People need new music, Eric. They can't go to concerts right now and be sin. So the best thing you guys and guys like Lamb of God did was put out new music
for us. And we'll probably do a couple new songs before we go on tour, so we'll have
some. Have you thought about that? I mean, have you and Chuck talked about, since you got this downtime, might as well put some songs together.
Yeah. I've already been working on stuff. I'm working on a project with Biff from Saxon right now.
Are you really?
Yeah. It's a song for some game. It's called Spin the Wheel.
Oh, really?
Came out pretty cool.
Oh, I saw some game on
Yeah, it's something like that.
Because I follow Saxon, and I saw on social, and I saw that he has some Saxon video pinball or video
and we have one too
really.
Yeah,
so wild.
Yeah,
how great.
So do you know how Exodus got their name, right? Did Bailoff ever tell you?
No.
They were on stage, and I guess people started throwing eggs at you guys or Bailoff's band. Bailoff's like, hey, they're throwing eggs at us.
Is that a joke or is that
that's what Bailoff told me.
He did not.
I swear to God,
he said, really?
Yeah. And he's all
was. All right, well, I'm gonna ask Tom about that, because since Tom was around from the beginning,
well, I don't know if that's how they got their name, but this is what Bailoff told me.
Okay,
Bailoff, you know,
it's a good Bailoff story.
Up in the attic with this wolf, with this one light, with the bed.
Yeah, no, the Hell House. We could do a whole episode on that house alone.
Oh my God.
So what are you guys gonna do? What is it? Are you just gonna wait and do whatever, or are we having any live concerts that are going to be on?
Well, we can't do any drive-in shows, but
why can't you? Why can't you?
Why can't we? I don't know.
Why can't you do a drive-in show? You know, they're not actually at the drive-in.
Like Metallica. Yeah. I'm actually going.
Trivium did one.
Really?
I heard it was really successful too.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I don't think it was drive-in theaters, but it was a live streaming thing, and I heard it did really well.
Well, that's what I'm talking. I think it's really cool what Metallica's doing with the drive-in thing. I'm actually going to go see it next Friday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where are they doing it from, Eric?
I don't know what they're doing. I know they're doing something new, a movie, or maybe they're jamming.
No, isn't it? It's a live concert of them playing live, I believe, but it's got to be something from.
I don't know if it's live, because I remember Lars saying something about they're going to mix it.
Oh.
And edit it. Or something like that. Oh, so
okay,
well, but it's still going to be cool. I mean,
oh, see, I was under the.
I think Garth Brooks did something like that too.
Yeah, but that was a live concert.
Okay,
that was actual live concert. I wonder if he did this.
I mean, I thought Unleashed in the East was a live concert. I thought Tokyo.
That's right.
You know, I thought Strangers in the Night.
Thank you, Genocide. Some of it had to be, I guess.
Maybe the drums are live.
Some of it was live. Yeah. The raps in between the songs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why? Well, they want it to sound good. Come on.
I know.
Can't give away the secrets, bro. That's how it works.
It works. At this point, there is no secrets.
So we're going to drag you in again, right? I can have you in, but we won't talk Legacy. We'll bring you in and talk Dragon Lord too, because you have a black metal band called Dragonland that he loves.
Dragonland?
Dragonland. It's called Dragonland. See what happens when I smoke weed all morning long? He's in Dragonland.
It's called Dragon Ass.
Dragon Lord. Well, Dragon the Ass. Record took how long to put out?
Be honest. That's what I'm saying. Be honest. It almost changed my name.
Be honest. How
8
long?
8 years.
Thank you. 8 years to put the... it almost sounds like a Rex's record. I almost have you beat. Almost.
I mean, Testament took 9 years between The Gathering and Formation.
And Damnation.
And we still toured like every year.
Crazy. We're on 6 years now between Blood and Blood Out and new album, whatever it's called.
When was that record, Blood In, Blood Out?
2014, October.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just 50 then. Now we're 56. That's right. So thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
Good to have you.
Good to see you, man.
You guys, all of you, leave me comments. Obviously, I know you will. Tell me how many times that I interrupted him and stepped all over him, because those are always fun.
I kind of bit back a little bit, so.
He did. He bit back. That's good. Lars Fredrickson did, too. I had Lars, and he kind of... He set a precedent right off the bat. So you guys, remember to subscribe and obviously share my channel. Leave me comments, and I'll get more stuff like this. I don't know.
Master of the game.
Master of... That's what is it. It was...
No, you wrote
the lyrics. It was thrusting through the battle. But the evil ruler's destiny. But the fight's been won many times before. So the war keeps lingering on. Yeah, that was... He wrote that.
So gay.
That's right. So what? You were, what, 19 when you wrote that? I was in a band with Phil Demmel called Metal Warrior. I mean, come on. What are we getting at here? Anyway, you guys, I probably won't be doing another episode maybe until I go up and do the record, but I am going to be bringing my camera with me, and I will be doing stuff remotely. So just keep staying tuned for that, for the new Exodus record, for stuff that Testament does. I mean, Titans of Creation still smells brand new to me, pal.
I keep getting new every month. We keep putting out a new record.
I know.
Vinyl.
I know. So, that's good. That's smart.
It's really
cool.
And
people love that. And
it's awesome.
And I love the interaction that I see with you and Chuck with the fans and that kind of stuff. And I think that's very important.
Delivering merch in his golf cart.
Yeah, I know. I think that's funny. I think it's great. It works out good. We'll see you guys real soon. Thanks for coming in.
Later.